Dundee stood outside the door of the saloon and took a long look up the street, then down. Again, he wasn't quite sure what he was looking for, but he figured he'd know when he saw it. The death of Bunch Carnes across the street was still on his mind, and he knew it hadn't been forgotten by the people around here either. He started riding back down the street. He tried not to give the appearance of looking for trouble, but his eyes kept moving. He didn't intend to miss anything. Down at the far end of town, he'd seen a couple of long, narrow frame buildings that had not known the luxury of paint, though he'd seen a woman staring out a window who had. He could remember when such a place would have held fascination for him, and he reasoned it might be so for Son Titus. He swung down at the first house, tied the horse, and walked in. The odor of cheap perfume and whiskey and greasy cooking struck him across the face like a wet saddle blanket. A woman stood at an ironing board pressing a dress with a heated flat iron. She was perhaps 30 or so, dressed in nothing but a shift, sweat trickling down her surprised face, her blondish hair hanging in untended strings. Plainly, this wasn't during business hours.
Mister, don't you know what time it is? It's the middle of the day.
I'm looking for a man.
Most people who come in here, they ain't looking for no man. There's none here.
Dundee looked past her at a long hallway that had small rooms leading off to one side.
I think I'll go and see for myself.
Not unless you want a face full of hot iron, you won't.
You put that iron down or I'm liable to lay it against your rump and brand you like a white-faced heifer.
He started down the hall, opening doors, the woman following along. There were four doors altogether. Inside the last room, he found a man, but not Son Titus. Old Roan Hardesty was caught with his dignity down.
What the? Damn it, Dundee! Didn't nobody ever teach you how to knock on a door?
Didn't go to bother you.
Dundee walked back to the front room and laid a few pieces of silver on the ironing board.
Buy yourself a bottle.
Thanks. Come back again sometime.
He was glad to get into the fresh air again, but he knew the next house wouldn't be any better than this one. He stopped at the front door a moment, wishing he had another drink to fortify himself. These places were hell in the daylight. Son Titus sat in the small parlor on a settee, his bare feet propped up on a soft chair, a bottle in his right hand, his left arm hugging a small blonde girl tightly against him. Son grinned in triumph.
Come on in the house, Dundee. You're later than I figured you'd be. Old age must be slowing you down.
I'm not too old, Button.
Well then, I bet Ludie here can find you a friend.
All I came for is you, not one of Ludie's friends.
You sound mad, Dundee. You'd have done the same thing in my place.
Get up and put your boots on, Son Titus. I'm taking you back.
I ain't going back. I like it fine right here with Ludie.
The girl smiled at Son and pouted at Dundee. He could tell she had looked into that bottle a good many times. Dundee pointed down the hall. He noticed this house was built just like the other one.
Girl, you go back yonder and find yourself something to do. I got business with Son.
I got no business with you, Dundee. I like it fine right here where I'm at.
I told you once already. Get yourself out of here.
Eyes wide, the girl got up, tightened her wrapper, and weaved down the hall, anxiously looking backward, bumping into something on her way. Son Titus brought his bare feet down to the hooked rug.
Dundee, I'm getting awful tired of you.
I ain't having much fun with you either. Put your boots on.
What if I don't?
Then you'll go barefooted.
I mean, what if I tell you I ain't going at all?
Son, you're too drunk to put up a good fight, but I will fight you if I have to. I'll whip you like I whipped you that night in Titusville, and I'll enjoy every minute of it.
You want to start now?
The blonde girl hurried back down the hall, bringing with her a large, raw-boned woman with red hair who looked like a sister of the woman in the other house.
Oh, no, you don't. I ain't putting up with no fighting in my house. It cost me a wagon load of money for the furniture in here, and I won't allow no brawling drunks to go busting it up.
All right, son. If you gotta have it, we'll go outside and settle things.
Son's boots lay where he'd kicked them off, in a corner. To put them on without sitting down, he had to stand first on one leg, then the other. watching him, Dundee decided the button wasn't really very drunk, for he managed the job pretty handily. Dundee had known the time when he enjoyed a fist fight. It limbered him up, roused his blood into good circulation, quickened his heart like a big shot of whiskey. Now he felt no relish for it. Not even getting to whip Son Titus seemed to be worth the effort. But if the job was to be done, he'd best be getting on with it so he could put this infernal town behind him. He walked out the door and into the street. He glanced at his horse and moved well away from the bay. A horse could be a fool over something like a fist fight. Dundee chose a place and stood waiting for Son Titus to come out. Son took his time. When he moved through the door, his step was steady, his eyes alert. Dundee wondered if he'd been drinking anything out of that bottle or if he'd just pretended and had been trying only to get the girl drunk. Son's gaze touched Dundee, then darted away. He was reaching for his pistol.
Look out, Dundee!
Instinctively, Dundee jumped aside, not sure whether Son Titus was about to shoot him or was going for someone else. A bullet smashed into the frame house. Dundee whirled, hand darting down and coming up with his six-shooter. Son Titus fired at someone across the street before Dundee got turned. Dundee caught a glimpse of a man at the corner of a picket and sod shack, feverishly levering another cartridge into the breech of his smoking rifle. He saw the slug kick dust from the shack's wall. Son Titus fired again, chipping wood from a picket just over the man's head. The bushwhacker brought up the rifle again, but he was flustered now with two men shooting at him. Dundee ran, zigzagging. The man turned and fled, limping badly.
Let's get him, Dundee!
You stay right where you're at. I ain't packing you home dead.
Dundee raced toward the shack. He could see the man ahead of him, running stiff-legged toward a horse, a little too far for Dundee to hit him. The man swung into the saddle and spurred hard, the rifle still in his hand. He aimed anyways. He let the smoking pistol hang at arm's length. He knew who had shot at him. Jason Carnes, brother of Bunch Carnes. Jason Carnes, who had caught Dundee's bullet in his leg in a cow thief camp.
Looks like I'll be forced to put another bullet in him before this is over with. I'll have to place that next one a mite higher up.
Well, we run him off, didn't we, Dundee?
I reckon we did. Thanks, son. If you hadn't hollered, he'd have probably taken me with that first shot.
Then I reckon you owe me something.
I reckon. What is it?
Go off and leave me alone. I ain't finished all my business with Ludi, and you're sure putting a crimp in things.
Son, I'd do anything I rightly could to pay you back. But if I was to leave you alone here, I wouldn't be doing you no favor. Oh, sir, you're coming along with me the way we started.
You mean after what I done for you?
After what you done for me, you're still going back to your old daddy. Now get on your horse.
Like hell I will!
Dundee put his pistol back into the holster, balled his right hand into a fist, and brought it up with all his strength behind it.
Ow! I swear, Dundee, you sure hit a man hard.
It helps to shorten the argument.
Oh, if I hadn't saved your life, you'd have been mad at me. I did save it, and you won't do me a favor?
I am doing you a favor. I'm getting you out of Runaway while your health is good.
As they topped the hill, Son Titus looked back over his shoulder at Runaway below.
I wasn't finished down there.
Yes, you was.
That was the last Son Titus spoke for many miles. He rode along with his head down, sleeping on horseback. It suited Dundee all right, for so long as Son was asleep, he wasn't bellyaching.
I ought to charge old John Titus double for this job. Hunting cow thieves is what I was hired for. I didn't come here to wet nurse a chuckle-headed button.
But now and again, he would glance at the relaxed face of Son Titus and feel something vaguely akin to liking. Son could have stood there and let Karn shoot Dundee, but he hadn't. He had pitched in. Maybe it wasn't because he felt any desire to help Dundee. Maybe he just wanted the excitement. No matter. If it hadn't been for Son Titus, Dundee knew he'd probably be the cause of somebody having to do a job of digging in the rocky ground that was Runaway's Boot Hill. Son Titus stirred, finally. He blinked, shut his eyes a while, blinked some more, and came awake. His face twisted as he worked up spittle and tried to clear his mouth of a bad taste.
How far we come?
A ways. You ought to swear off whiskey.
Truth is, she done most of the drinking. I didn't really drink much. Just a few little snorts.
Dundee had sort of guessed that.
I figured a girl like her would have heard lots of things. Figured if she got to drinking, it'd loosen her tongue up a bit. And then maybe I'd find something out.
Did it work out a way?
Some. Mostly it made her affectionate. Of course, there wasn't nothing wrong with that neither.
What did you find out when she wasn't being affectionate?
Found out a little bit about you, Dundee. Found out they're scared of you and run away.
That convince you I ain't no cow thief?
Why else you reckon I'd have bothered to holler at you when that fella was fixing to let air through your brisket?
I sort of wondered.
Well, wasn't on account of your good looks and disposition.
At length they came to a creek, its clear water gurgling over the polished stones that lay in its shallow bed. Son Titus licked his lips.
Last night, I wouldn't give you a nickel for all the water in Kingdom Come. Now it's worth $10 a gallon. I'm gonna step down and drink about $100 worth.
Son dropped on his belly and stretched out over the creek's bank, cupping the palm of his right hand to bring water up so he didn't have to dip his face under.
Ain't you afraid that stuff will rust your gut?
Not with the coat I put on last night.
Dundee watered the horses. Son Titus finally seemed satisfied. He pushed to his feet, wiping his sleeve across his mouth.
Woo! Nectar of the gods! You ought to try it, Dundee.
Dundee hadn't noticed being thirsty, but he guessed it was the power of suggestion watching Son Titus.
It is a ways yet to the next water. I reckon maybe I will.
He stretched out on the bank, a little above where Titus had lain. He was drinking when he heard Son's saddle creak and felt the reins jerk from his left hand. He rolled over and jumped to one knee. Son Titus was riding his own horse and leading Dundee's up the creek bank. Out of reach, Son paused to look back.
Go on and drink your fill, Dundee. You got lots of time.
You bring my horse back here, Son Titus.
I hope you're a good walker, Dundee. It's a far piece back to Runaway or out to McCown's, whichever way you decide to go. Me, I can tell you where to go.
Son Titus.
Like I said, Dundee, I ain't finished all my business in Runaway yet. That's where you'll find your horse. Adios, Dundee. Enjoy yourself.
You crazy button up!
Dundee broke off as he watched Son ride away into the lengthening shadows. He hurled his hat to the ground.
Damn!
He wanted to stomp it, but that wouldn't have been enough. One of these days he'd stomp Son Titus instead. Times he wished he'd never strayed through Titusville, had never seen old John Titus or Son. He ought to turn his back on the whole damned mess and let them steal the T-bar blind. But he knew he was in too far to pull out now. He'd follow on through. But one of these days, when it was over, he clenched his fists. Dundee was a cowboy, and cowboys seldom walked. It was contrary to their religion. A cowboy would descend into many types of sin before he'd risk blisters on his feet. Dundee considered the distance. It might be a little shorter to the McCown place than to Runaway, but not enough to offset the time it would take to get a horse at McCown's and ride all the way back. Another thing, the trail back to Runaway was easier followed in the dark. The night was far gone when he finally got to Runaway. Legs aching, feet blistered and sore, his anger simmering like bitter roots being boiled for backwoods medicine, he dragged himself up to the front gate of the wagon yard. Down the street, he could see most of the building standing dark. A lantern still flickered in front of the Llano River Saloon, one at another bar farther along. Way down at the end of the street, he saw a dim red glow. The small barn was dark. Well, by George, if he was awake, everybody else would just as well be.
Hey, where's the man that runs this place?
Oh, you damn drunks. You won't let a sober man get no sleep. Go find your own horse and leave me be.
In the reflected moonlight, Dundee made out a lantern. He lighted it and turned up the wick.
I ain't drunk.
Oh, it's you. Well, you'll find your horse in the corral and your saddle on the fence. That button left him here.
How long ago?
I don't know. I've been asleep.
Is his horse here too?
He kept his, just left yours.
Which way'd he go this time?
Like I told you before, I don't notice nothing that ain't my business. That way my health stays good. Now take your horse and get out of here so I can get back to bed.
Dundee saddled the horse.
You heard any shooting in town since that boy came in?
Well, since you ask me, I heard a couple of shots down the street.
You know what happened?
Yep. I turned over and went back to sleep.
Dundee rode down the dark street, glad to be off of his sore feet, and glad most of the town was asleep. He hoped Jason Carnes was asleep, too. To be on the safe side, he reached down and drew the carbine from its scabbard. Dundee rode to the house where he'd found Son Titus the last time. He didn't see Son's horse tied anywhere. The house was dark now, except for the glow of a lantern in one of the rooms in the far back. Dundee walked partway back for a look-see, but a curtain was drawn across the window. He returned to the front, pushed the door open, and walked in.
Son Titus, you in here? Son Titus, I come to get you.
A door opened and lamplight came floating toward him, a long shadow preceding a woman. She stopped, the lamp in her hand, her eyes blinking in sleepiness.
What's going on in here? Don't you know what time it is? Decent folks are all asleep.
It was the same red-haired, raw-boned woman he had crossed before. Her stringy hair and the pouches under her eyes didn't help her looks any.
Son Titus came back in here tonight. I want him.
He ain't here.
Where's that girl he was with, one called Ludie?
Ludie's asleep. You ain't gonna bother her.
I asked where she's at.
Now, mister?
I'll find her if I have to tear this place apart. Her and him both. Now, where's she at?
Oh, all you men is the same.
The woman turned down the hallway, still carrying the lamp.
She's back this way. But you ain't gonna find out much talking to her.
She opened a door and pointed. The girl lay across a brass bed, her loose gown pulled halfway up her legs, the blanket thrown off.
Ludie! Mm-hmm. Where's Son Titus?
Mm-hmm. Sure, sweetie, go ahead. Huh? Mm-mm.
The girl never opened her eyes. Dundee noticed a bottle lying by the bed. It was empty.
That friend of yours, he brought that bottle with him. Must have let her drink most of it by herself. Time he left here, she is so drunk you'd have thought he'd hit her with a sledge. She won't be worth nothing for 2 days. It's a sin the way that girl likes whiskey. It'll be the ruin of her one of these times.
Dundee grasped the girl's shoulder and shook her.
Ludie, I want to find Son Titus.
Again?
Like I told you, you ain't gonna get nothing out of her. She's too drunk.
Dundee stepped back, hand tight on the carbine.
How long Son been gone?
Must have been midnight, 1 o'clock. After he left, he came to see about Ludie. This is the way I found her. When you find that Titus, you tell him I don't want him back in here again ever. He's a bad influence on my girls.
One more thing. Filler told me he heard some shooting tonight. Was that before Son left or after?
There's always some drunk shooting a pistol around here. I expect it was Titus done it. He left here looking awful satisfied with himself.
I'll bet.
Frustrated and uncertain, Dundee walked outside. At the house next door, a woman stepped to the little porch and blew out a red lantern, then retreated inside. That was the house Dundee had searched yesterday, looking for Son Titus. He considered looking again, but he figured Son wouldn't have left Ludie's place to go to another just like it. Dundee looked up the street. The only light he could see now was the single lantern in front of Katie Long's saloon. The rest of the town was in its blankets. Dundee swung onto the bay and rode back up there. He tied the horse in the darkness and walked around to the rear of the place. He found a rear door and tried it. He entered the dark hall and carefully made his way along it, guided by the moonlight through the windows. At the door leading into the main room of the saloon, he stopped to look for a moment before stepping into the lamplight. He saw only 2 people, Katie Long and Old Blue Roan. Roan was gulping a shot of whiskey and watching Katie rake in another pile of chips.
You ought to know better than to gamble with a good-looking woman.
Blue Roan turned quickly, surprised. His hand dropped toward his pistol, then stopped as his blinking eyes recognized Dundee. Katie Long was startled, but she never moved. Roan recovered his composure.
How come, Dundee? I'd rather play cards with a good-looking woman than with any of the ugly men I've gambled with.
Hard to keep your mind on the cards.
I believe that's the first compliment you've paid me, Dundee. You must want something.
I want son Titus. Where's he at?
You'd make a mighty poor jailer, Dundee. Can't even keep one Typebridge's kid under control.
He was in here, wasn't he?
Bought another bottle early in the evening. Said you'd probably come in sometime during the night. Enjoy your walk, Dundee?
My feet are sore and my patience has run out. I want to know if you saw son Titus any more after he bought that bottle.
Nope. You'll probably find him where you found him yesterday.
I already looked. He left.
And there's not much telling. Maybe he went home.
Shots were fired somewhere on the street a while ago. What were they?
Katie glanced at old Roan, and both of them shrugged.
Some drunk, most likely. I didn't hear any more commotion, so I didn't go look. I was winning at the time.
Dundee glanced at the pile of chips in front of the woman.
That must have been a long while ago.
Dundee, he probably went home. You look like you need sleep. I can fix you up with the cop back yonder. You can go find him in the morning.
I'll sleep after I found him. I think I'll tie him to a wagon wheel with wet rawhide and then sleep while the hide dries.
I still got orders out, Dundee. Nobody hurts him.
Does everybody obey your orders?
Not always.
That's why I gotta find him before some of your boys do, if they haven't already.
Dundee turned to go. His tired legs betrayed him and he almost fell.
He just thinks he's going someplace. You better bed him down, Katie. Next time I'll get them chips on my side of the table again.
Glad to give you the chance. Bring lots of money.
I always do. But I seldom leave here with any. Wherever that boy's at, he'll keep till daylight. You rest yourself. Where's your horse?
Out back.
I'll drop him off at the wagon yard. Good night, Katie.
Good night, Roan.
Dundee slumped in a chair and watched Katie Long rake the poker chips into a small leather bag.
You always beat him like that?
I let him win now and again so he doesn't lose hope.
Crafty, ain't you?
I've been taking care of myself in a man's world for a good many years now. I think I know how. You're really worried about that thick-headed kid, aren't you?
I'm mad enough to chew up nails and spit him in his face.
You know, Dundee, the first time I saw you, I figured you were just another tough drifter with a cartridge case where your heart ought to be. But I believe I misjudged you. Times, you're damn near human.
Katie moved to the bar and lit a lamp.
Blow out that overhead lamp for me, and come on back and I'll show you a bed.
Dundee followed her out of the dark saloon and into the hall. She opened the door to the room where she had treated Jason Carnes' wound so many weeks ago.
I'll sleep a while and then slip out. I'll try not to make any fuss when I go.
She stood in the doorway, holding the lamp. Dundee stared at her a moment. He reached up, placed his hand under her chin, and kissed her. Katie backed off a step, surprised.
What was that for?
I just really wanted to do it.
Comparing me to that country girl?
No, that's not it.
Well, do I measure up?
It's like I told you out yonder that day. I haven't touched her.
You wanted to?
Sure, I've wanted to. I just ain't done it.
So you come to me figuring anything you do to me is all right?
I didn't mean to get your hackles up. I don't have to sleep here if you don't want me to. I'll just go on like I'd figured to in the first place.
Katie stared at him a while longer, and he thought he saw the laughter come back into her eyes. She blew out the lamp and set it on a table.
Empty talk, Dundee. You're not a man to start something and not finish it. You'll stay right here.
He was up at daylight, dressing quietly to try to keep from awakening Katie Long. She reached out and caught his hand. Her sleepy eyes smiled.
No goodbyes?
Hadn't figured on it. I gotta find son Titus.
He'll be back.
Better not count on it.
You'll be back.
The carbine across his lap, he rode down the street for another look by daylight. He saw nothing of Son Titus's sorrel. He rode around back and followed the alleyway, thinking he might find the horse tied somewhere there. That proved to be a waste of time. He scouted the riverbank, but he still found nothing. Katie and Roan could have been right, he knew. Son could have gotten his fill of town and gone back to the McCown place. It might have been that he wanted to postpone facing up to Dundee for setting him afoot. Those shots that had been fired during the night still nagged at him a little. True, the chances were it had been some cowboy sharing his celebration with the whole town. But there was always a chance. With no other options, Dundee lined out toward the McCown ranch, setting the bay into a steady trot. He rode straight for the saddle shed, looking for a sign of Son's horse. The sorrel wasn't there. Dundee turned his bay out. He could borrow something from Warren if he had to ride again. Millie McCown stood in the door, apron tied around her slender waist. Her eyes were wide as she watched him approach, but he could see relief in them. She stepped out to meet him, her hands forward to grasp him.
We were worried about you.
Her fingers were warm, but he pulled his hands away. He tried not to look at her. Remembering Katie Long, he found it hard to meet this girl's eyes.
I'm all right. Son Titus come back?
You mean you didn't find him?
Well, I found him, and I lost him. He hadn't been here?
We haven't seen him.
The worry that had nagged him all the way out here descended on him like a dark and gloomy cloud. Of a sudden, he was certain something had happened to Son Titus, something a lot worse than Dundee himself had planned to do to him. In the cabin, he found Tobe Crane sitting up on the edge of his cot, his sock feet on a small rug Millie had made. Tobe's arm and shoulder were still tightly bound with clean white cloth. His face was pale, but it seemed to have more color in it than Dundee had seen before.
Dundee, you didn't find Son?
Briefly, Dundee told what had happened, though he left out those parts which might have brought a blush to Millie.
Could be he was afraid to answer to you, Dundee. Could be he went straight back to his old daddy at the tea bar.
You believe that, Tobe?
Nope.
I got a bad feeling about it. Can't put my finger on it, but I know. Harm's come to him.
Tobe pushed himself to his feet.
I'll help you find him.
Tobe swayed, and for a moment it looked as if he would fall. Dundee rushed toward him, but Millie was closer.
Tobe.
She grabbed Tobe and eased him back onto the cot, her face drained with sudden anxiety. Dundee saw how Tobe clung to the girl's hand for a minute after he was on the cot.
You're not ready to go anywhere yet, Tobe.
Across the room, old Ollie McCown stiffly got up from a chair and hobbled a few steps toward Dundee.
I'm going with you. If somebody can help me get on a horse, I can ride him.
Much obliged, Ollie. I'll be needing help. Where's Warren?
He went out this morning to check on the new cattle to be sure they're not trying to drift south again. They do that, you know, till they get used to a new range.
You looking for him to come in to dinner?
Yes.
Then we'll wait. Maybe three of us can locate Son.
They split at the creek, the three of them, each to scout a strip of land that lay between there and Runaway. Dundee himself took the middle one, where the trail ran, for he felt that was the most likely place. Possibly somebody had followed Son Titus out of town and waylaid him. Dundee crisscrossed back and forth, slowly working toward town. In the back of his mind, those shots kept ringing, the ones he'd heard about in Runaway. If they'd killed Son, they perhaps had buried him by now. Old John Titus's boy might never be found. But then there was Son's horse. Somewhere, somebody had to have that sorrel, and it would be a giveaway. The sun was low when Dundee sat on the hill looking down upon Runaway. He had searched out its streets and alleys this morning, and the riverbank. But he hauled the carbine out of the scabbard and laid it across his lap, knowing he had to look again. Old Roan Hardesty sat on his big gray horse in the middle of the street and watched Dundee ride in. He glanced at the carbine, then shifted his gaze to Dundee's face.
Back again? You've been here enough lately that you'd almost qualify to vote.
I'm still looking for Son Titus. Do you know something you ought to tell me, Roan?
You know as much as I do. I told you I give orders that he was not—
And you told me not everybody obeys them orders.
Son, Titus ain't in Runaway, Dundee. If he was, I'd know it.
But he was in Runaway, and he ain't showed up anyplace else. Don't that make you wonder, Ron?
I wish I knowed something to tell you.
His gaze lifted. Dundee saw the blue spots seem to darken in the aging face as Roan stared past him. Dundee turned in the saddle. His blood went cold. Two horsemen were coming down the hill, leading a third horse. It was a sorrel, and it had something tied across it. Dundee turned his dun slowly around, his throat knotting. He didn't have to see any more. He knew. Warren and Ollie McCown had found Son Titus, and they were bringing him in. Dundee sat slumped in the saddle, numb, as the two riders came slowly down the street to meet him. At length, they reined in, their horses almost touching noses with his dun. Dundee's gaze fastened on the slicker-wrapped bundle tied across the trailing sorrel. He tried to speak, but his throat was too full.
I found him out yonder, a ways from town.
Old Roan Hardesty rode up closer, his face gray in shock, the blue splotches standing out like tar spots.
Dundee, I swear to you.
Any swearing you want to do, Roan, you better do it to old John Titus. I expect you'll get the chance.
Dundee turned his back on the big outlaw.
Warren, it's too far to take him home to his old daddy. I'd like to bury him on your place somewhere. It's sort of friendly ground.
It's a long ways. We better get started.
Dundee had seen men die, but old John Titus was the first he ever saw die and yet live. The ranchman scarcely moved as Dundee told him, but the blood slowly drained from his face, leaving it the color of ashes. The bright fire of life seemed to die away and go to nothing more than coals. The strong old hands knotted, the leaders standing out like strands of rope. Dundee thought he heard a single sobbing sound escape from John Titus's throat, but there was no other, and he was never sure. For a long time, the old man sat there, blank eyes staring past Dundee into the infinity that only the mind can see. Dundee wasn't sure the rancher was hearing him, but he went on and told the whole thing from beginning to end, most of it anyway. At last, he brought out the tally book and the map and laid them on the roll-top desk.
I done what I set out to do, sir. I got it all here on paper, the just and the unjust alike.
Would you show me where you buried him, Dundee?
I'd want to, sir.
There'll be more to do after that, Dundee. Will you stay with me?
I figured on it.
You done real good. Who was it you said owned the land you buried him on?
McCown, sir. The name's McCown.
McCown.
Maybe you've met him sometime.
Maybe so. Dundee, go fetch my foreman, Strother James. Got plans to make.
Millie McCown had fashioned a wooden cross and placed it at the grave. The minister, John Titus, had brought red words from the Bible. A pale Tobe Crane stood bareheaded in the sun, his good hand clasped with Millie's. Dundee noticed, and regret touched him. But it was covered over by the regret he felt as he watched old John Titus crush his hat in his hands, looking down at the mound of earth which was all he would ever again see of his son. Around the grave stood some 30 men, each wearing a pistol, each holding a horse that carried a full supply of ammunition and bulging saddlebags. Some wore badges that John Titus had browbeaten the sheriff into passing out as he deputized the lot of them. There hadn't been nearly enough badges to go around. Dundee had not chosen to wear one, for somehow he felt ill at ease that close to a star. The legal authority was vested in the badges. The practical authority they all carried in their holsters and in the saddle scabbards that bristled with carbines and shotguns. The minister finished his prayer. The cowboys waited awkwardly for John Titus to put his hat on, then they followed suit. Their attention focused on the old man. John Titus shook hands with the minister.
Thanks, preacher. Now I reckon you better be heading back, for the Lord's work here is done. What comes next is the devil's own.
Tobe Crane took his good hand from Millie's grasp and held it out toward John Titus.
I'll be going with you.
Much obliged, boy, but you best stay here and mend. I won't forget that you got them wounds helping son.
He was my friend. That's why I'm going with you.
You won't be able to keep up, Tobe.
I'll keep up. You won't have to slow down none for me.
Then, boy, you come on along.
The old man turned his attention to the girl.
Much obliged to you and your family, miss, for everything you've done. I won't forget it.
Warren McCown stood to one side, watching, but not quite a part of it.
What I told your sister, I meant. If ever there's something I can do for you...
We'll do all right.
Titus turned to Dundee and his 30 or so men.
Boys, we got us a job to do.
Ahead of them, atop a gentle slope that led down toward a narrow creek, sat a cabin of live oak logs with a rude lean-to of cedar and a set of brush corrals rambling away lazily toward the hill. Three horses were staked on green grass, their ropes long enough to allow them to go down to the creek for water. In front of the cabin, three saddles lay dumped on the ground, blankets flopped across them.
Three saddles, three men.
Dundee made a sweeping motion with his arm, signaling for a surround. He sat on the bay horse and watched while the men spread out and around the cabin, shutting off any chance for escape by the men inside. Right away, he saw his first mistake. The way the posse had tightened the ring, there was no way for anyone to shoot without taking a chance of hitting one of his own men. Dundee signaled for the riders on the opposite side to move up the hill out of the line of fire. This was a soldiering job, and for a moment he wished he were old enough to have been in the war, so he'd be sure what he was up to. But, hell, he would be old and gray now and fighting off the rheumatism. The cabin door opened. A bareheaded man stepped out in red underwear, denim breeches, and long-eared boots. He walked along with head down. At the woodpile, he picked up a chunk of mesquite and placed it across the chopping block. Dundee started his bay forward, wondering how long it would be before the posse was seen. The woodchopper was so preoccupied, Dundee got close enough that he could chunk a rock at him. These renegades had stolen cattle here so long with absolute impunity that there was no reason to suspect the pucker string was about to draw shut. The axe stopped its swing above the chopper's head. He let his gaze drift slowly to the other rider spread out across the flat. He stood that way for long seconds, the axe raised, his mouth and eyes wide. Of a sudden, he flung the axe behind him and turned to run for the shack.
Stop!
The man halted in mid-stride.
You'd never make it to the door. If you don't want some new holes opened up in you, better turn around here and see how high you can raise them hands.
The rustler turned slowly, shaking. Dundee stepped down and handed the reins to the angular old brush popper Strother James. He slapped the palms of his hands against the outlaw's pockets and down against his boot tops.
No gun. Wouldn't have been no use to you anyway. I take it there's still two men in the shack?
The outlaw swallowed, his stubbled neck quivering. He nodded instead, his eyes darting from one rider to another, frightened as a rabbit's. Dundee guessed he was looking at the ropes on their saddles.
Do what I tell you, and maybe you won't have to try one of them on for size. You call to your friends in there and tell them to come on out. Tell them we got them hemmed in tighter than Maggie's britches.
Jake! Hawk! They got us! You better come out!
Dundee kept the outlaw between him and the cabin. He drew his pistol and stood waiting, his heart quickening. He saw a motion at the window. A man stepped out of the door, crouching warily, rifle in his hand. He looked at the ring of horsemen and realized he had made a mistake.
Arnie, what's going on out here?
Drop the rifle and walk this way.
The outlaw still crouched, his head turning slowly as he counted the men who waited for his decision. He made the wrong one. He decided to try for the cabin. A rifle roared in old John Titus's hands.
You still got one friend in there. If he's any friend at all, you better tell him to come on out with his hands up.
Oh, Jake! Hawk's dead! They got him! You come out while you still can!
The door opened cautiously. Dundee saw the barrel of a rifle and leveled his pistol on it. The rifle was thrown to the ground. The door opened wider and a man swayed out, his arms held straight up.
Don't shoot! Don't nobody shoot!
Dundee motioned him forward. The men rode in closer, covering the outlaws with their rifles and shotguns and six-shooters. Dundee turned and stared a moment at all the hardware, and he felt almost as nervous as these cow thieves. That much artillery in the hands of a bunch of cowboys was enough to make a man break out into a cold sweat.
You boys be careful with them guns. We want to be damn choosy who we kill.
John Titus edged his horse forward. He leaned on his saddle horn and stared down at the two cow thieves, his eyes as hard as steel.
Dundee, you reckon these two could have done it? You reckon they killed son?
Dundee knew he had to be careful how he answered, for the old man's fingers inched down to touch his rope.
These two ain't more likely than anybody else.
Dundee could see the temper in the eyes of the men around him. If old Titus said the word, they'd hang these two from the nearest live oak. Dundee held his breath. That kind of a show wasn't what he had come for.
Tie them on their horses. We'll take them with us to the next place.
Strother James fingered his gray-laced beard, then pointed to the dead man.
What about him?
What about him? Leave him there.
Pistol in hand, Dundee approached the shack. He was reasonably sure the three men were all who had been here. But in a situation like this, the man who took things for granted might not be around to celebrate next Christmas. He kicked the door open and leaped inside. A quick glance told him he was by himself. He slipped the pistol back into its holster. Seeing a lantern hanging from the ceiling, he took it and emptied the kerosene along the walls.
Oh, I got a little money hidden there.
You had a little money in there.
They moved fast and struck hard, over the hills, up the valleys, following Dundee's map, picking up one thief's camp and then another, leaving behind them smoke and flame. During that blazing afternoon, one more outlaw showed the poor judgment to come out with rifle firing, and he stayed there on the spot where he'd fallen, dead before his dropped weapon ever struck the ground. Through it all, old John Titus never let age cause him to falter or drop behind. He moved in silence, his gaunt face like darkened rawhide, dried on a stretching frame. He watched the gradually increasing string of prisoners brought along on their own horses, hands thong-tied to saddle horns. Titus had nothing to say until after the fourth camp had been taken. He edged his horse against Dundee's.
These are little fish. I want the big one.
Old Rome, it'll be harder to take while we're trying a lot of the others to slip out of the country.
Let them. It's Roan I want. Wherever we find Roan, we'll likely find the man who killed son.
Dundee shrugged. He had rather have concentrated on the easy ones, as much to sharpen up his inexperienced posse as anything else. It was one thing to ride into a two-bit rustler camp and flush out one, two, or three miserable cow thieves. It might be entirely something else to beard the lion in his own den.
You know where Roan has his headquarters. You showed it on your map.
Yeah, I know where he is. I just wasn't too anxious to see it yet.
I'm anxious.
So they rode. Sundown caught them still many miles from Runaway, but Dundee figured that might be a good thing. The darkness would help hide their movements. He didn't know how much surprise there might still be. They had moved swiftly today, and so far as he knew, nobody had gone through the net. But it would be hard to know for sure. Somebody might have come over a hilltop and spotted them without himself being seen. If so, he probably wouldn't let his shirt tail touch him until he'd reached Roan Hardesty.
Pull them prisoners tight. We can't let one of them get away. Tie all their horses onto one rope and lead them.
Far into the night they rode, Dundee always a little ahead, feeling out the way in the near darkness. There was a trail, but he chose not to follow it. They cut across the hills, climbing wherever he could find a way through, easing down off the slopes, splashing through the moon-trapping creeks that shimmered in the lazy valleys. He had never been down to Roan Hardesty's headquarters, but he had sat on top of a hill and watched it through the glass most of one afternoon, getting the hang of it. Roan's taste in a ranch layout was much the same as his taste in whiskey. Rawness was no detriment so long as the thing fitted its purpose. The old reprobate lived in a small log house, just far enough up from the creek bank that he wouldn't have to flee the floodwater. He evidently didn't want to tote water any farther than absolutely necessary. His barn, such as it was, had been built close to the house, too. Sanitation wasn't as much worry to him as the length of the walk from where he had to turn his horse loose. Roan's men, the ones he kept around him all the time, stayed in a long, low rock structure with a brush and mud roof. As far as Dundee had been able to tell, Roan lived in the log house all by himself, though he'd had some female company there the afternoon Dundee had spied from afar. Plain house, raw whiskey, and a painted woman. A man should never get so rich, but what he still enjoyed, the simple pleasures, Dundee had told himself. For a while, he feared he was lost in the night, but at last he found the hill where he had sat that time before. The men came up around him and let their horses rest. The dim moonlight barely showed the outlines of the buildings down there.
Is that where he's at?
Well, it's where he lives. He spends a lot of time in Runaway. The only light I can see is a lamp in the bunkhouse. Roan's place is dark.
You reckon he found out about us and ran?
Maybe. Or he could be in town playing poker, or he could be laying in there asleep. I expect he sleeps a right smart, his age and all. You need some rest yourself, Mr. Titus. You've been going awful strong.
I'll rest when the job is done. There won't be much left for me to work for when this is over. Sun's gone.
Dundee didn't know how to answer that, so he didn't try. He had a notion that when the old man's initial grief passed, he'd be back in harness as strong as ever. Work was what kept a man like him going.
We'll all get some rest. If they've heard we're in the country, they could be waiting there somewhere trying to catch us in the dark. We'd best wait till daylight. But we'll move closer and put a surround on them. That way there can't nobody slip in or nobody slip out.
Later, a Weary-Tobe Crane sat beside Dundee where they could look down on the dark shape of the buildings. Crane had kept his word. Weak though he was, he hadn't fallen behind a single time. Before long, Dundee started seeing matches flare in the night. One, two, then five and six.
Looky there. Them matches can be seen for miles. I told them, boy.
A nervous man is bound to be damned to smoke. And this is a nervous bunch.
Ever so often, I think about all them shooting irons in the hands of cowpunchers, and I get a right nervous myself.
You got a plan how we're going to take that place?
I ain't no general. All I know to do is just ride down there and take over.
Looks awful risky.
Everything we've done has been risky.